In the Proverbs that we were studying in the Bible study before the COVID thing hit, in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 17, one of the translations says this: better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. Now, I want to share the same one from the New Living Translation. A bowl of soup with someone you love is better than steak with someone you hate. Now, that's why I say about the spiritual truth of God's Word. You know, we don't use some of these anymore. It's one of the reasons I like the New Living Translation. But I use all the translations when I'm preparing because it gives me a better insight sometimes onto what's going on. And if you're using the King James is great. Just keep some commentaries close by in a dictionary because some of the words we don't use anymore too much. So like tumult, over the tumult, we always thought it was getting pelleted with rocks and so forth. But the tumult, that's where we get the word tumultuous, challenges. Over the challenges we go in Christ's name. Now, I'm not much of a Facebook person, although Judy and I have a Facebook page. But I do have to admit that I sometimes, like if she's at the doctor's or something and I take my phone and I scroll on, I don't post anything. First of all, I'm not a very good typist. Second of all, I don't want to get involved in that. But it's interesting to see what's on there. So if you're a fan, you know by looking at someone's status, you can find some things out about a person, whether they're male or female, where they live. And most intriguingly, their relationship status. And what I mean by that, people living together, married or single or whatever. So if you have filled in some of those blanks on your Facebook page, you get people a little bit of information about who you are. While some status indicators say in a relationship, others may say, yeah, single. And then there's a wonderfully inspired category that is called, it's complicated. If there's any relationship that isn't complicated, I don't know, but they all are complicated. It's complicated can mean anything from on again, off again. It may mean, it ain't going to last much longer. It could also mean, if I call you this thing, I'm in a relationship. But it doesn't feel rational sometimes, or maybe it's not even healthy having a satisfying relationship. Or it could mean one of us is truly not committed. Not so much with 10 years of marriage. So what does it mean to be committed? It's complicated. Some people think it's simple to have a committed relationship, and it means that you're in it, boom, done, that's it, we're in it forever. Sort of like the old timers, you know, they stayed in a marriage, they did things, whether it was politically correct or not. But having a healthy, committed relationship means that two people stay in it no matter what. One time, like I say, years ago, it was often thought that people say, well, yeah, I'm married. I just grin and bear it. It's the motto that almost all marriages during the boomer generations struggled with. Many felt the same scripture supported marriages in a different generation. After all, it's in the scriptures. We read the countless times that God laments a runaway bride. You can find that over in Hosea. That's a love story in the book of Hosea about God and his people. God, who are we? We are the bride of Christ. So sometimes there's lamenting that goes on about his runaway bride. Sometimes it's Judah, sometimes it's Samaria, sometimes it's Jerusalem. But we can always take a quick glance at what it means to be the most important thing about being in a relationship with God, or anybody else for that matter. It's simply to stay in it, not to flee, not to divorce, although there is times when that's the best result for somebody that's in a relationship or a marriage is not meant for each other. But show up no matter what. Read the book of Hosea sometime. But it isn't enough. It's really not enough. There's a whole runaway bride movie series, and some of the grooms, they get cold feet and they live with one another and others, and then there's a runaway bride, and it just goes on and on and on. Have you ever been to a wedding where one of those getting married didn't show up? or they ran away. Maybe that relationship was doomed from the beginning. Many years ago, when I was serving, where were we serving when we did that wedding at Cody? I don't know. Anyhow, this couple that we know, Judy, friend of Judy's, in fact, most everybody in Jefferson County is related, so there's probably a relationship there. And they wanted to get married, and they wanted Judy and I to participate in the wedding, and wanted me to perform the ceremony, and we did it at his home church, which is Cody Pentecostal Church on Graham Road. So we did the marriage thing, counseling with them and meeting with them and doing all this kind of thing. So this wedding day, and here we go. We're ready to go. And the music is playing. Everybody's in the sanctuary and everything. And the groom is there with no bride. And I always, before I perform a wedding ceremony, I always like to go back and visit with the bride and their group of women, bridesmaids and so forth, to have a prayer with them. So I went back there and wondered, And there's the bride sitting there crying, and all her bridesmaids are, they're all concerned. And I can't do this. I'm not going to. Well, make a long story semi-short, after about 45 minutes or so of people praying and talking with them and so forth, we got the wedding going, and they've been married 20-some-odd years now, I guess, and they have wonderful children and all that. But at the beginning, they weren't so sure. The bride wasn't so sure I wanted to be married to this guy, and she had some anxieties. Buyer's remorse is what we used to call it in the car business. Now, don't get me wrong, there's things that are important, but running away is not a good idea. True commitment means more than just showing up. A real relationship means showing up in love, even when you don't feel lovely or loved. You see, love trumps all mistakes, all passions, all diversions, and all devastations in life. It means that your relationship is healthy enough to withstand anything that life can dish out. That's the kind of relationship God offers to his marriage-like covenant with us. We are the bride of Christ, a living and passionate relationship, true commitment relationship, and the kind made true and unconditional love. We call it agape love, unconditional love. But there are vital relationships, and there are dead relationships, unfortunately, that keep on nurturing and hope that they will revive. I think all of us have been there one time in our life. And you just think of your relationship as a tree. And for whatever reason, there could be any other kind of analogies that you can make. But if you find a tree that's not taking water anymore and nothing you do to seem to revive it, we had one of those. I guess the Confederate rose is considered a tree. And it kept going down and down and down. We did our best to revive it. But eventually it just dried up and the leaves got brittle and we had to dig it up. Or sometimes you get a little tree or a plant and its roots is rotting and they're slowly disintegrating in front of your eyes. But then something happens. Depending on how attached to your tree or that plant, which is meant for you, and how long you had it, we do get attached to plants and trees. There's just no way around it. But sometimes, as dead as it is for a long time, keeping it in the corner or perhaps watering it endlessly and helping to revive it or even putting some miracle grow on it, although it looks dismal sometimes, it's not dead on the inside. So what's the difference? Is there something that you did or maybe something you didn't do? Probably not. If the tree is dead, there's absolutely nothing you can do to revive it. And if it's not dead, your efforts will be rewarded with a new and fresh tree. Well, the same thing is in relationships. And if your relationship is one-sided, there's nothing you can do to revive that relationship. No matter how many aerobatics perform or tricks or anything else, your relationship, however, is based in true love. No mistake you make, if it's in true love, will kill it. No screwing up with deep sixing it, not even running away. The person's love will always be there for you, passionate and alive, and it may wilt or wither for a while, but true love doesn't die. We all heard the old adage, it takes two to tango, and it takes two to make a covenant, whether it's a marriage or a relationship with God. You can be in a marriage in which you nurture and care for and nudge and nourish your partner in every way you can think of. But if your partner has no life left in that relationship for you, nothing you do is going to work. Same goes in the reverse. Some of us know this. If someone is in love with you, they can stand on their heads, they can do somersaults of love, they can bring you flowers each day, they can make you dinner, they can feed the cat. But if you're not in love with that person, that relationship is just not going to flourish. So relationships are not just about showing up. They're about showing up in love. Throughout the scripture, throughout the Bible, God is not merely asking us to show up. God wants more from us than to go through the motions of loving God with our actions or our obedience or our sacrifice of praise and our songs. And even today, God is not just asking us to show up for church, or to be in the choir when we had the choir, or the men's choir, or serve our community and do all the right things. God is asking us to be in love with Jesus. To be in love with God. And that only happens when our heart is truly in it. Now, it's just not about the covenant for the sake of the covenant. God's covenant with us is relational. It's a covenant love. That's why no matter what we do, no matter how many times we may run away, no matter how many mistakes we make, no matter how much we mess up, God remains so in love with us that he sent his only son to redeem us, revive us, to keep us alive in love so that we can experience what it's like to be in a joyful, loving relationship with God. You see, God never gives up on us because God knows the deep inside. We need God more than anything else in our life. Remember the tree of life that was always giving and loving and caring for, even when we didn't water it or care for it? Jesus is the Lord of unconditional love. And when we understand how to be in love with God, we can begin to understand what it's like to be in love with each other. Our society desperately needs to understand what it means to be in love with one another and to be in love with God. It's not always easy to be in love with Jesus. I'm not, Pollyanny about it. But relationships sometimes can be messy. They're complicated. Sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we do wrong things, and sometimes we even run away. I ran away from God for a long time. But when we do, Jesus is always there waiting for us. You know, the parable of the sons, you know, that's a very good image of God waiting for us with open arms, loving arms. He wraps us in everlasting love and compassion, and he covers us in his veil of grace and forgiveness. I never thought about this, but it's a good analogy. He puts on the ring of eternal life around our finger and promises to love us forever. And all we need to do is say yes and mean it. For the heart of God's treasure, God knows our heart at its very, very core. So when we praise, let's praise with true joy of heart with God. And when we give thanks, let us give thanks with the true gratitude of a humble spirit. And when we pray, let us pray the true earnestness of a heart bound to God in love and passion and commitment. God knows if we're just going to go through the motions, God mourns at our empty heart. For Jesus is the bridegroom waiting and hoping for his bride to return, his love to dance with him into everlasting life. He is the love that never dies. He is the love that never fails. Love God, love each other. This is the story of stories. This is the story of God's love for us. So I'll end this little story about God's love this morning with a Facebook question. What is your relationship status? Now, you don't have to answer. Just think about that. But if you do answer the question in your own heart, what is your relationship status when it comes to God, let all turn and understand, yeah, it's complicated, deeply and passionate to be in love with Jesus. It's not easy. But it should be, because if we go into our prayer closet with him, you know, he already knows everything about us. So why not confess and say, Lord, I need your love. I need your grace. You understand what I'm going through. Help me. I like what old Bishop Henderson used to say, our black bishop many years ago. Help me, Holy Ghost. So look at the relationships around you, the ones that you're in, the ones that you're trying hard to nourish and nurture, and the ones that you may have not noticed in your life. Whom do you love? And who loves you back? Who loves you back? God loves you back. In Proverbs 27:7. All right, Robbie, what'd you do with it? Proverbs 27:7. There we are. This is another one that's a little interesting to look at one translation and look at another one. 27:7. One says, Solomon said, a sated man loathes honey, but to a famished man, any bitter thing is sweet. 27:7, Proverbs New Living Translation says this, honey seems tasteless to a person who is full, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. So when you're in love with God, and when you know that God loves you more than anything else in this world, you can let go of what is dead. You know, it's just like a tree. You know, sometimes a tree looks dead, but you prune it, and it comes back to life. That's the same with our life. Sometimes we get dead inside. We just need to be pruned. Because love is living. Commitment to that love flourishes and grows and nurtures and satisfies. So don't settle for only bitterness when God offers you the hope of milk and honey. Love God with all your heart. Love each other. And above all, let God write your love story. It's not complicated. It's dedicated. I love one of them old songs in the 50s. It's dedicated to the one I love. I heard that just the other day. So, gracious, loving God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for letting us look at the different things about what it means to be in a love relationship with you. We're grateful for that. And it's just something that we're in charge of. Nobody forces us to love you, Lord. But we want to love you because you accept us for the way that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.